Our scripture lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, the 25th chapter, beginning with the 14th verse. For it will be as when a man going on a journey called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his ability. And then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now, after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents, and here I have made 5 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And he also who had the 2 talents came forward, saying, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here I have made 2 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a little, and I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. Then he also who had received the 1 talent came forward, saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you do not sow, and gathering where you did not winnow. So I was afraid, and I went and I hid your talent in the ground. So here you have what is yours. But his master answered him, You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sowed, and gather where I have not winnowed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have abundance, but from him who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness, and their men will weep and gnash their teeth. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
For the last few weeks, we've been talking about the comparison trap. And if you go all the way back with me, we began saying there's no win in comparison. Can you say that with me? There's no win in comparison. Next, we said we all have disease. And that's where we can always find someone prettier, someone richer, or more popular than us. And what happens is when we look and we see those people that have more than us, we get envious. And envy does a dangerous little thing. Envy whispers a dark and subtle secret to us. And it's so ugly underneath that we don't like to admit it to ourselves. But here's what envy whispers to us. God owes me. God owes me. Why am I not more beautiful? Is it the fault of the person in the magazine? No, they had nothing to do with it. Ultimately, God could have made me with a nicer nose or with a prettier smile. Ultimately, I'm saying that God owes me. Why am I not more richer? Is it the banker down the street's fault? Or maybe God could have made me smarter. God could have given me more opportunities. And so I blame God. Kids nowadays, they ask the question when they see someone mad, they kind of tease them. Who you mad at? The danger of comparison is that when we boil it down, when we're truly honest, we're not mad at him or her who's got more than what we've got. The real, honest, ugly truth is that envy makes us point our finger at God and say, You owe me. This isn't a new problem. Actually, Jesus addresses it in our scripture lesson We've talked about it as the parable of the talents. And here's how it begins. It will be as when a man goes on a journey and he calls his servants and entrusts to them his property. To one he gave five what? Talents. Now, I've heard all kinds of different explanations for what the money is. Maybe it's like each one is like a bag of gold or a bag of silver. A talent's worth, a year's worth of money. All I want to say is this. It is an enormous, an outrageous amount of money that the master gives. One, he gives five talents, to another two, to another one, to each according to his ability, and then he goes away. Now, as we try to place ourselves in this scripture, I want you to think about yourself as a two-bagger, okay? You've got two bags of talents. You got two bags of gold. That means that there's someone above you who you're like, wow, I wish I had that much. And then there's someone below you who says, wow, if only I had that much that you've got. Because the truth is, we probably live our lives in the middle. There are people that we look at and we say, wow, if only I had what they had, I could be satisfied. And believe it or not, there are a whole lot of people who look at you and your life and they, if only I could be blessed as much as they are, then everything would be fine. I would never complain. I never have any problems. Bill Gates went to Africa and visited the homes of some very poor people there. After he left a remote village, a journalist stayed behind and through an interpreter explained to the woman of the house that that's the richest man in the world. That American that just visited with you, how does it feel to have the richest man in the world in your house? And the lady just shrugged and she said, everyone in America is rich. Everyone in America is rich. Get that concept in your mind for a minute. The rest of the world looks at you, at me, and says, wow, if only I could have those blessings. Wow, if only I could have what they had. I would not complain. I would not be envious. I would have enough. We're always two baggers. People that we see that have more and people that see us and say, oh, if only I had what they had. And here's the big question in all of this dealing with the talents. Who decided who got what? Who decided who got what? It was the master who decided. Matthew 25, verses 16 through 18 says it this way. He who had received the five talents went at once and traded with them, and he made what? Five talents more. So also had the one with two talents, he made two talents more. But the one who had received one talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Because what can you do with just one bag of gold? I mean, if I had five bags, then I could change the world. Even if I had two bags, I could affect my entire city. But with one bag of gold, what could I possibly do? So I'll hide it. And in our modern terms, maybe we would say it like this. Well, if I had her looks, well, then of course. Well, if I had his money, then of course. If I had parents that hadn't got a divorce, then of course. If I had never gotten married, then of course. If I'd never had kids, then of course. If I'd had more chances in life, then of course. Or maybe we'd say it this way. If we had as many members of St. Luke's, then of course we'd pay our full apportionments. But we've always got some excuse as we look to someone else and what they've got. And we then take that envy and we use that as an excuse to hide our talents. If I had five bags, of course. But what can I do with just one bag? I'll bury it. Matthew 25, 19 says this. Now after a long time, it doesn't give the time because Jesus is telling a parable. This is a story that he is making up himself to to make some points. And that long time, as it's stretched out, as we look at here, really it's a lifetime. After a lifetime of opportunities, the master comes and he settles accounts with them. I think it's interesting here. Who do they settle accounts with? With the master. But who do we so often try to settle accounts with? Each other. Huh? Each other. We try to say, here's what I've done. Look at my life. Let me try to impress you. I heard a story about a guy who goes and visits his friend, and he's got all these bowling trophies on the wall. Tons of bowling trophies. He says, wow, you must be a great bowler. He says, in actuality, I've never bowled before. I just bought the trophies because they look good. Well, I'm trying to settle accounts with you. Isn't that what I'm doing? I'm trying to settle accounts. It's not just that the trophies look good. It's that the trophies say something about me. You've heard the saying, the kid who dies with the most toys wins, you know. All that is trying to settle accounts. Look at what I've got. And yet, I think we've all heard it said before, that the most important things in life are things that money cannot buy. We don't settle accounts with one another. Look at what I've done. Look at what you've got. No, the account settling happens between the servants and the master. And so the guy with five talents, he comes forward and he drops down five more talents. And it's like he's saying, okay, God, look at what I did with what you gave me. You gave me five talents, and I, in turn, got five more. Look at what I did with what you gave me. Next one comes, and he's got two talents, and he brings a bag, and he puts down two talents, and then puts down two more talents. I increased it, and he's like saying, look at what I did with what you gave me. Can you say that with me? Look at what I did with what you gave me. Now, clearly, this isn't an opportunity for him to settle accounts with the other people around him. Not with the other servants. He's settling accounts with the master. Look at what I did with what you gave me. But then the third guy comes forward. And it's like he's the third little pig that cries wee, wee, wee all the way home. I'm just making sure you're still awake. The third guy comes with one talent. And it's important to remember this isn't a real story. This didn't really happen. Jesus is telling this to make a point. Now, normally what we do is we focus on the part of the story that talks about use what God's given you. But if you look at the dialogue between the master and this servant with one talent, you see that ugly truth. That ugly lie. That envy whispers in our ear. Here's what the man says who had one talent. He says, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not winnow. So I was afraid and I went and hid your talent in the ground. And here, boom, you can see him throwing the one talent down. Here you have what is yours. Before I tell you what I did with what you gave me, I want to make it clear that you're the one to blame. It's your fault. You chose what you were going to leave me with. So I was afraid, and I looked in comparison to what you gave the guy with five and the other person with two, and you only gave me one. So here, take what's yours. And it's as if he's saying, look at what you did because of what you did not give me. Look at what you did, God, because of what you didn't give me. It's your fault. And here we are caught in the grips of envy. And envy is whispering in our ear, God owes me. God owes me. Here's what the master says, you wicked and slothful servant. Some translations, instead of saying wicked, say lazy. You knew that I reaped where I had not sowed and gathered where I had not winnowed. See, the servant didn't do anything anything bad. He just didn't do anything good at all. And we talked about that last month when we talked about the three simple rules. The first simple rule is do no harm. Remember that? Do no harm. But the next one is do good. We're called to step beyond doing no harm and to do something good with the life that God has given us. And that's what we often focus on when we read this scripture. But underneath, pulsing, echoing in our ears, is that message of God, you owe me. It's the master's fault because the master determined who got what. The unfaithful servant can't help but let his thoughts slip out. His frustration in what everyone else has is really a frustration he's got with his master. And because of this, he focuses on his inequity instead of his opportunity. He focuses on the inequity instead of the opportunity. So here he is with a tremendous gift, a bag of gold. And all he can see is what he doesn't have. The only thing he can see is what someone else got. I don't know about you, but that's convicting to me. There have been times in my life when I said, oh, well, if God had given me this, then of course I could do so much more, but this is all I've got. And we wallow in self-pity, and the whole time we're digging a hole. Digging a hole and doing nothing. Matthew 25, verse 27 says this. The master says, then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers. And at my coming, I should have received what was mine with interest. Why didn't you think of that? Well, the reason he didn't think about that is he was blinded by what he didn't have. He couldn't see all the opportunities that were in front of him. I want to say this. Every moment that we spend comparing ourselves to someone else is a moment that we subtly accuse God of not giving us what we deserve. Frank Huber, can you do me a favor? Come here, Frank. Why don't you stick your hand in this hole here?
I don't think so.
Why not? Just stick your hand in here. What? What? No. Why shouldn't he do it? What? What? Frank, it's a trap. It's a trap. Now come over here with me just for a second here. I wouldn't have let you stick your hand in there. You know that, Frank, right?
Yeah, I know that.
It's a trap. And every time that we compare ourselves with others, it's a what? Every time that we're angry with God about what he gave to someone else, it's a what? Every second that we waste wallowing in envy, it's a what? See, God doesn't owe us anything. But what God demands is that we use the gifts and talents that he's blessed us with to be the good stewards that give him glory. Amen? It's a trap.